Hello, and welcome to Red Rock Relationships, a podcast about communication. Let's unpack the relationships that we encounter in our daily lives and learn about what makes them tick. And now your host for Red Rock Relationships, Dr. James B. Stein.
All right. Well, we are back and we are burning for some new information about closed relationships. And I promise what I just said there, it's going to be real, real funny in about 45 seconds. We've been talking about red flags all semester long, and we only have a couple episodes left. So this is one that I'm really excited to do because it's a type of relationship that people know exist, but rarely label. And once we talk about it, people go, oh, that. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Specifically, we are talking about back burner relationships. And to help me do that is someone who's really, I mean, the father, godfather, I don't know what the proper term is, the person who is primarily in that area of research, Dr. Jason Dibble. Thanks so much for being on the pod.
Feels so much responsibility, parental, the father. I've never been the father of anything that was good. So, but yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, James. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure's all here. So when we have a new guest, I like to always take just a couple of minutes, elevator speech, if you will, to just introduce yourself, talk a little bit about your research background and how you wound up sitting on the other side of this virtual couch.
Yeah. So I'm Jason Dibble. You can call me Jason. I graduated 22nd grade from Michigan State University. And I am currently now working at a small private liberal arts college in Holland, Michigan, called Hope College. And it was in terms of the research that I got involved in, weirdly enough, I came out of the pre-med field. So I actually was not a communication major as an undergraduate. So those of you who are undergraduate comm majors, you're already way ahead of me. But I was taking, as a pre-med major, I was taking tons of science classes. So biology and chemistry and physics and all of these so-called hard sciences. But I was learning how to do, how to form hypotheses and how to test hypotheses. And I was learning about the scientific method. And then somewhere along the line, I was doing some shadowing with some actual physicians in the hospitals. And suddenly my attention just went over to the way they talk to their patients. And I noticed some of them were really great about it. And some of them were not so great about it. Or you might say they had really bad bedside manner. Mm. And so I asked somebody, does anybody study this kind of the way that these, you know, doctors talk to their patients? And someone said, oh yeah, that's physician-patient communication, and that's a thing. And I go, really? They go, yeah, but and I go, well, what med school do they learn that at? And they go, it's not med school, it's communication departments all around the country. And so that's what got me into the communication field already as a college graduate. So I went back and got a master's degree in communication. Then I got bit by the research bug, and that took me into a PhD in communication. And along the way, I just started stumbling. That kind of got me paying attention to relationships between people. And it wasn't too much of a stretch to go from patient-doctor to communication relationships to just general interpersonal communication. So that's what I focused on in my PhD. And that morphed into romantic relationships and all kinds of other things. So flash forward, one of those outgrowths is the back burner research that we're talking about today.
Nice, nice. And we actually have a fair amount of, I'm not going to say overlap, but adjacency with each other. I study romantic relationships and the process of
You're friends with benefits, right?
Yeah, so I was doing that for a while, and now I'm more into what I refer to as dyad network accommodation, so how couples interact with their duo-centered and egocentric networks. It's all very scientific. It's not.
That's a lot of smart words that I don't use in my research.
Oh boy, it sure is. It's the only way I can get my stuff published. Anyway.
We're down in the basement with things like back burners. I'm way down here in the gutter.
Well, so speaking of terms, right? So back burner relationships, they're typically something that people understand and participate in and are aware of, but the term itself is rarely used in the public, like, zeitgeist or whatever. So I'm wondering if we could just take a few minutes here to define what a back burner is and maybe go over why they're so common, why they're so prevalent.
Yeah, so that's a couple questions there. Let me take the first one, which is what back burners are. Full disclosure, I got the term out of the zeitgeist about 12 years ago. And so it was back in something they would talk about in Urban Dictionary. Even in some of my earliest publications about it, I refer to Urban Dictionary. But, you know, lingo changes so much. So maybe it's time for a different term, but I kind of went with back burners thinking that's what people were using at the time. So I don't know if that's the best way to call it. But what we were talking about here, these are people that you are romantically and or sexually interested in, that you're not committed to, but you do talk to with some frequency for purposes of maybe getting together should you ever want to pursue each other. And so that's what kind of makes a back burner a back burner. And we use the metaphor of back burner because people have used heat and flames for a long time to talk about their romantic relationships. So if you think about your primary partner as your full flame relationship, on kind of maybe on the front burner of the stove, then these people that you keep waiting in the wings, I know I'm totally mixing my metaphors here. This is terrible. But these would be people you keep on the back burner. And what's interesting about them is they are a communication situation because they're not just silent crushes you have. In order for these people to qualify as a back burner, you have to maintain some level of communication with them, whether it's a sly text on the side once in a while or a DM somewhere. There has to be some communication in order for these people to be elevated to back burner status.
Right.
And that's the idea, is you want to maintain just enough communication so that they don't fall off the stove. But yet you don't want to flame them up into a full flame relationship. So it's a limbo you keep them in.
Right. I think that the DM is a really easy way to conceptualize this. Like, imagine you're on, I don't know, Instagram or Snapchat or wherever it is that you intake other people's stories, and you see one of these folks posting an image of themselves looking quite attractive, and you just, you reply with a little fire emoji. That constitutes, right? There's your act of communication.
Yeah.
Or
like, not nothing.
Every now and then it's, hey, how's it going? How you been? Right. Yeah. That kind of presumably platonic communication, but
that's the interesting piece, right? So you have to have some communication for it to be a back burner, but the way you communicate could take a lot of different forms. It could be just overtly sexual, where you're, you know, sending nudes and doing the whole sexting thing, or it could be completely platonic in appearance. So it could just be a, hey, how are you, stranger? But what makes it back burner is sort of the intent behind it. So you have to have two ingredients for a back burner. It's got to be somebody that you're romantically or sexually interested in, and you have to communicate with them for purposes of stoking or fanning, keeping those embers glowing, if you will.
Right. So, okay. This kind of leads perfectly into the next question that I was going to ask, because, like, yeah, there are back burner relationships that are, like, inherently, like, hey, I'm interested, or, like, hey, you're looking real, real nice, that kind of thing. But what I'm a little bit more interested in are those presumably platonic relationships, right, where, and I'm specifically interested in a situation where you might be in a romantic relationship, and you're still communicating with back burners. If we go back to, like, the cooking metaphor, right? I'm in the middle of grilling a hamburger. I'm eating the hamburger. It's a delicious hamburger, but I see that hot dog back there at the back of the grill. I'm coming for that hot dog. I don't know when, but eventually I'm coming for that hot dog. You know what I mean? So for those relationships, I think it's a tightrope to walk, because there's this air of, like, plausible deniability of, like, oh, well, I just, you know, I knew them from high school. I was just checking in just to see how they're doing. So my question is, on a scale of, like, totally mundane all the way through relational transgression, where would you rate that dynamic, and why would you put it there?
So this is a great question. It's a common question you get, and it's going to sound like a dodge, but I don't like to put it, I don't like to put a number on that, because what's normal for somebody depends on your rules within your relationship. What I can say is, based on the evidence we've seen so far, back burners are incredibly common whether or not you're in a relationship already with somebody. So I don't see initial evidence that says we should sound the general alarm. I don't equate back burners automatically with cheating. because they're so prevalent, it's so common. I think it's actually kind of hardwired into our human repertoire of dating and, and just mating behavior. You know, what the quick answer for why do we have back burners? It's because humans need to make more humans. And so one of the things that maybe nature has outfitted us to do is, you know, from, you know, maybe your listeners already heard of things like interdependence theory or social exchange perspectives or, Russ Bolt's investment model. It's a derivative of social exchange. But basically those theories say that no matter whether you're in a relationship or not, you're still paying attention to who's out there in terms of who's hot or not. It doesn't mean you're going to act on that hot dog. You might be perfectly fine making the choice to stick with your hamburger, but it's unreasonable to think you're not going to notice the hot dog.
Right.
It's on the back of the grill. In fact, it's your hot dog detectors that got you to notice the hamburger in the first place.
Right, right.
Your appetite for food is what got you the appetite. And that doesn't just go away because now you have a hamburger.
Yeah, that's such a good perspective because so what we were talking about way earlier in this semester, we were talking about like controlling behaviors. We were talking about things like love bombing and various other like gaslighting and those are a little bit more egregious and serious, and it makes me think of the situation where somebody is like hounding you for commenting on another person's post in a way that might have been, you know, meant to keep that back burner relationship going. And as you describe it, it almost sounds like the individual who's getting upset about this is maybe needs to check themselves, perhaps even more so than the person who's engaging in the back burner behaviors, up to a point, right? Up to a point.
Yeah, I mean, our official research-based advice is to practice discretion first, freak out second, because back burners are super normal. It doesn't mean your relationship's headed for Splitsville. What we're thinking is, it's not just having back burners that causes the trouble because, you know, your hottie detectors don't turn off just because you're in a relationship. Right? It was your hottie detectors that got you your hottie in the first place. So that it's unreasonable to think that, you know, my partner is never going to notice another attractive person. But what really makes the difference is what are you doing with those people? So where we need to take the research next is we need to get some more people with PhDs to help us learn what are the things we say to our back burners that are benign and what are the things that do cross the line. And we just don't know enough about that yet. But just having back burners and the fact that you maybe stumbled upon your partner and found them, you know, flirting with somebody else, that doesn't have to mean trouble.
I think that's a crazy thing for a lot of people to wrap their heads around.
It is.
Right?
It takes a lot of restraint, yes.
Yeah, the idea that like somebody might have those sorts of exchanges with another person and not only not mean for it to go anywhere, but expect it not to go anywhere. I just think that's very alien from like a, if we want to get evolutionary about it, from like a pair bonding perspective, right? From a from a monogamy as norm perspective. So it sounds like, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth here, but it sounds like you've kind of answered my third question, which is, although it might be reasonable for somebody to get upset seeing their partner doing this sort of thing, it doesn't constitute red flag behavior. Do I have that right?
It doesn't have to. It could, but it doesn't have to. I think you have to look at more than just the fact that they're talking to a back burner.
Mm. Okay.
And this is where communication comes in, right? You know, talk to your partner. Define your rules. If you say, hey, one of our boundaries in this relationship that we're going to agree to is we're never, ever going to talk to anybody that we find attractive. Okay. That might be a little strict in my book, but, you know, I don't know that either myself or my partner would necessarily live up to that, but that's up to them, you know? And if those are your relationship rules, those are your rules.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, the rule setting and then of course the boundary setting is huge, which we of course covered last week when we were talking about communication privacy management. All right. So it sounds like like many of the behaviors we've been talking about here, engaging in back burner relationships has the potential to be a red flag behavior, but is not one in and of itself. Like, per se, it's not a red flag. It's more about when somebody starts pushing things beyond relationship rules or expectations that it gets problematic?
That's where we are right now. Yep.
Okay.
And we're just trying to learn more. We're doing some more research to learn what are some of the consequences of maintaining back burners. And so we're learning in some cases, depending on with mostly college students, we don't see right now a link between things like the number of back burners you keep and how committed you are to your partner. that is, I can't predict how committed you are just by knowing you've got 27 back burners. Because there could be a, you know, a variety of reasons. Just the flirting research also tells us that flirting could be harmful or it could be benign. In fact, there are some evidence that says flirting can help your relationship because, you know, going out there and keeping your skills sharp just comes back and makes you a better partner in your home relationship.
Oh man. So like you say something to someone
and
you realize that they liked it. So now you turn around and you say that to your partner.
Yeah, and you get that ego boost from knowing that you got, you still got it.
Right.
And then you go ahead and you bring that back to your partner. I guess, you know, to me, that's not all bad.
Sure. Okay, so then let's then cross the line, right? Because now me personally, I don't see any harm in back burner relationships as we've just kind of categorized them. But I do see an issue when people start engaging in strategic behaviors that are designed to hide or mask those relationships in some way, like when we do some gaslighting, obfuscating, things like that. So where's the line, right? Like where can we draw a line between, all right, I have back burner relationships. These are people who I talk to. They're perfectly innocent, although the content might be, you know, what some people might see the text on the paper and be like, ugh. Where's the line between that versus specifically deceiving your significant other and using this relationship as a means to do that?
Yeah, right. Now I think we piled other issues onto the back burners, and I think back burners now are kind of just coming along for the ride.
Right.
And what you really have going on is just deeper rooted deception and lying and hiding things, whether it's a drug habit or any other thing that you might hide from your partner. And I think the fallback is, where's the line? You know, it depends on who the couple are. You know, some people have open relationships, some people don't, and to each their own. There's a lot of ways you can be happy, in a romantic setting. But I think what I do, if you don't have anything else to go on, I go with, you know, is this the kind of thing that your partner would be okay seeing you do?
Right.
If the answer is no, then maybe rethink it.
That's fair. That's totally fair. You know what it makes me think of? I don't know why this popped into my... It makes me think of Bill Clinton. They were saying it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily having a back burner relationship. It is when we engage in problematic behavior... And kind of, maybe almost by coincidence, the back burner relationship is the thing that the problematic behavior pertains to.
Yeah, I think at this point now the back burner kind of becomes the scapegoat for the deeper rooted problems, which is you've got a partner who wants to lie to you for some reason.
Yeah. It makes me think of, like, you know, maybe you have a partner who's cheated on you, and now what would normally be a fairly routine of having these back burner relationships, well, now that's problematic because they have acted, they've cheated on you, they've committed infidelity, and they did it maybe with a back burner, maybe with someone else, but now there's this expectation of anytime you're talking to someone else, it could lead to that infidelity, and that's what makes the back burner, it's the other issue that makes the back burner problematic. That is...
Right.
That is a really interesting way of conceptualizing the relationship. That's cool.
It makes sense. There are some people who are always going to see it as a slippery slope, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to go, right, if I'm an alcoholic, I don't even walk into a bar if I know that's going to lead to something destructive for me. So for some people, that might mean cutting off any kind of communication with their back burners. But I don't think it has to be the standard necessarily.
Okay. Okay.
I'm trying to avoid using the word normal, and the words aren't coming very fast. So I'm trying to say, I don't think it needs to be the boilerplate standard that, you know, everybody, that back burners are an almighty bad, because they're not. I mean, this kind of goes back to our cave ancestor days. I'm glad that you brought up an evolutionary perspective, because that's where all this grew out of, I think.
Right. And humans are not designed to operate in dyads. Humans are designed to operate in networks and small clusters, which is why the internet is breaking us. But that's a conversation for a different day. Okay, we got time for one more question, and it's my bonus question, which, again, the central theme of this season is red flags. So I want to position the following to you. Which of the following is a greater relational offense? Maintaining multiple, potentially problematic, back burner relationships, or invading your partner's space, be it like, you know, the phone or their physical space, in an attempt to uncover the existence of these potentially problematic relationships? Which is worse?
Oh, wow. Gosh, that's like Sophie's Choice here.
Yeah, it is.
Prisoner's dilemma. There's no easy answer here. Okay, I'm just going to shoot from the hip on this because that's what we're going for. And, you know, hey, we YOLO, right?
Sure.
So I guess I would say, for me, I would be more put off by the fact that somebody went through every guardrail to find out what they needed to find out about me. Mm. I always say, you know, I would be probably more put off by the fact that somebody hacked into my phone than what they found on the phone. Because I just think that I don't think that having back burners in and of itself has to necessarily be a violation of trust. Where I think if you were to break into my phone, that by default is a violation of my trust. Hmm. And if we can't trust each other that way, then what else can we trust each other with? So it's probably not going to satisfy everybody, but for my money, I'm more put off by the fact that someone hacked into my phone to find my back burner messages than I would be by discovering my partner had back burners.
Right. And I had a feeling we were going to say that because, because this conceptualization of it all, right? Idea of, well, it's less about the relationship. It's more about the behavior, right? So if you're talking about invading someone's privacy, that is crossing a boundary. It is violating a relational expectation. It's a transgression. Whereas these back burner relationships, I mean, the person who's doing the violation, the privacy violation, they probably have back burner relationships too. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They might just not be as obvious.
That out. Yeah. They probably do too, whether they know it or not, right? And then there's this thing of, if you go looking for trouble, you will probably create trouble. You will find trouble. You will find something to attach negative meaning to, and now you've blown this all into a thing. And I just don't know that that's always healthy.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the types of folks who are most likely to do that are probably folks with insecure attachment styles or great trauma and people who are looking for trouble, like you said, tend to go find it. It reminds me of The Lion King, right? Where Mufasa says being brave doesn't mean you go looking for trouble, right?
That's right.
It is okay for your partner to have relationships with other people who could, in a different realm, be a potential suitor. And if you can't handle that, it's probably a you problem. And as a disclaimer, there's a difference between what I just described and learning that your partner's cheating on you, right? Those are two different things.
And we are not licensed therapists either.
No. Should have. That's where the real money is. Yeah. Yeah. So, oh man. Okay. So this is a really good, I'm glad that we were able to hash this out during our time together because, you know, I've read your research and this is kind of how I expected the conversation to go, but it's just so nice to hear it put in such plain terms and saying things like it's okay to have these relationships and it's something that everybody does and it's something that should be expected. And hopefully when people listen to this, they will consider their own relationships and say, oh, okay, well, maybe it's not as much of a problem. Maybe I've just been taught that doing that sort of thing is a problem, but it's much more normal and common than I thought.
Hmm. Yeah. And we just don't want to replace, though, the good communication between two partners. So talk to your partner, find out what each other's rules are, and discuss what are your turnoffs, what are the things that are okay, what's out of bounds for you. Don't just guess and don't just assume.
Yeah, that's what this podcast is all about. So that's a perfect note to wrap it up on. Jason, I want to thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it.
Dr. James, you're the best. Good luck to the show, and we love you lots.
All right, well, we've got at least one more episode coming up. Maybe two, depends on if I can find someone to talk about the ick, which there is literally no relationship research on. So that's a dissertation waiting to happen, but we'll have to tackle it at a different time. For now, we are out of hours. Looking forward to wrapping up the season in the not-too-distant future. But until then, happy finals week, everybody. Best of luck with your writing and exams.
You've been listening to Red Rock Relationships, a podcast about communication. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time. If you'd like to be on the show or have questions for us, please send us an email to redrockrelationships@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Just search Red Rock Relationships. Thank you again. And remember, it all begins with good communication. This has been a production from a podcast studio.